So the scripture reading is in our booklets. It's Ephesians 4, verses 7 through to 13. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word, which we have heard ringing through the ages from the pages of Scripture. And we pray that you will help us in this day for this church to hear what you are saying through this word to us, that we may live in the good of it and live by faith in Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm not so sure about funerals in advance. I think today is a wee bit more like Christmas. You know what, Christmas? You have those weeks building up to it, and you've got all the presents under the tree, and you're thinking, I wonder what that one is. In my house, the big puzzle for my wife always is, what's he got from Poundland this year? Because I try to wrap it up to make it look a wee bit exciting. But it's just one of our wee traditions. But today's a bit like Christmas, because you've been waiting. The new gifts have been under the tree for several weeks, and today's the time to see what's inside. For God's gifts come packaged as people. God's greatest gift is Jesus. His gift beyond words, coming as a human being to speak the word of good news in human language so that we may hear and see what God is really like. He is indeed the image of the invisible God. But Tim and Jackie, are God's gifts to you, quite specifically to you as a church at this time? And all of you are God's gifts to them and to one another. And one of the great things to know is that as these are gifts of the ascended Christ, they are all good gifts for your good, to be received with thanksgiving and with faith and expectancy, because God wants to use the gifts that he has given to this church to his ends. We read from Ephesians 4 these words, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That's why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. And then Paul highlights some specific gifts that have also been highlighted in our prayers. Verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Why these specific gifts? Why these particular gifts? If you think about them, they are all word gifts. And Paul goes on to say that these are given to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's lovely when a church is able to welcome a new pastor. And there can be a real sense of relief. Maybe we could sit back and let him get on with it. Well, if that's how you are thinking, it's much more right. We've had a wee bit of a break now. It's time to get ready for action. It's a new phase of ministry. And these word gifts, which include the gift of evangelist and pastor teacher, I take those to be the one gift. I know that people debate that, and I won't fall out with you if you think differently. But the idea of a pastor, as I understand it, is the under-shepherd. He's the shepherd of the flock. He leads and feeds the flock. And the only way to do that is to lead and feed with the word of God, following in the footsteps of Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. So the pastor-teacher is to lead and feed by ministering God's word. But the purpose of this is not just so that you get a good sermon every week, and I'm sure you will get that, so that we can say, oh, well, that was great. I feel uplifted, and I hope you always will feel uplifted. But it's to equip God's people for service, so that we come together week by week for the weekly coaching session. What are we going to get from God's word to take out into this week in our different areas of service, so that we can live this good news before other people and be this good news to one another? To equip God's people for service, so that your gifts, the ones that God has given into your stewardship, the gifts that he's given for you to make use of. And please be assured, Tim hasn't got anything like the range of gifts that you have. As we are equipped for service, we make an impact in the power of God's Spirit for Jesus, to equip God's people for service, so that we come to this goal of unity in the faith. Notice that's a goal and not a starting point. We start by maintaining the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We've been brought together as God's people. That's a work of God. We're born of his Spirit. You can't choose your relatives. We're born into his family, and we just receive one another as Christ has received us. And that's not on the basis, by the way, of having all our theology sorted. We start by simply trusting Jesus, and we receive one another on that basis. But we grow towards maturity in the faith. That means valuing the diversity of God's grace. It means working together, asking questions. Don't expect to agree with everything that Tim says. You can always say, Tim, could you please show me where you got that from in the Bible? Because I'm not sure if I understood you rightly. You know, we all hear differently, and sometimes we don't hear as well as we thought. Even the best of speakers will misspeak sometimes. Don't expect that every sermon is going to be dotting every I, crossing every T that you believe in. But I've often said, a sermon is never the last word on anything, but it can be the first word in a great conversation. So open up the Bible together. This is a resource that God's given you to look at the scriptures and to think afresh so that we grow to maturity in Christ, which is not that we can simply recite some work of systematic theology. It's so that we can recognize one another with all our diversity and see that we have been given to one another not to be clones, but to spark one another off so that together, as a community, we may move more and more to become like Jesus and to reflect him. How do we get there? Well, let me read on very briefly. This is verse 14, we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Speaking the truth in love. I think that's more than speaking truthfully, but it's not less than speaking truthfully. Verse 25 says, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. You know, this is essential to think about today. We live in a world of deception and confusion. And make no mistake that all has the smell of sulfur about it. The devil is the deceiver who wants to destroy people by undermining the very concept of truth. But truth accords to reality. So let's speak the truth to one another. It's the opposite of the roguery that we read about in verse 14 of deceitfulness and cunning craftiness that you so often see in political leaders, and maybe even sometime in those who should be spiritual leaders. Speaking truthfully. Speaking the truth in love is also not the equivalent of the Glasgow kiss. You know what that is? Well, it's when somebody says to you, you know, brother, I've got something to say to you, and I'm going to say it in love, because you know what's coming next, don't you? Yeah? Yeah? Well, it's not that. It's literally truthing it, dealing truthfully, practicing the truth in love. The Net Bible puts it. It's about being authentic followers of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. It's about faithfully reflecting the truth, because all truth, true truth, is God's truth. And what we are wanting to do is, in a world of lies, saying, there is truth that we can trust in. It's embodied in Jesus, because there is a God who gives us an objective sense of right and wrong and good and bad. And he's true. And because he's always true to himself, he's trustworthy. And we are called to truth it in love as we reflect Jesus. So that is the importance of regular, faithful, Christ-centered Bible teaching. That's why we need to come week by week, because we want, in a world of lies, to have the truth washing over us and to be with people who share that truth and value that truth and want to be true to that truth and want to help one another to be faithful followers of Jesus. So that's the goal for Tim's ministry. To see this whole body of Christ here. Move on towards maturity. And that needs all of us to take part, because it's from him the whole body grows as each does its work. Instead, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You are Christ's gifts to his church. Good gifts from a good giver. Not just to be admired or criticized, but all to be used to benefit from as we each play our part, truthing it in love, growing together towards maturity in Christ, so that as a church you may be a beacon of gospel light to this community in Banstead. And I am delighted that you've got Tim and Jackie with you to be part of that. Amen.